It's time to get chiseled with Rob Hamadani.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chiseled. And why do we call it Chiseled? Because we're all a work in progress. I'm your host, Rob Commodore. I'm also the author of the book Better Than You Think and co-author of a book, Next Level Your Life, with Kyle Wilson and several other authors. Kyle Wilson was the 18-year business partner of Jim Rohn, if you're not familiar with that. Anyway, so I have a special guest today, and I say special because I've known this gentleman for over 20 years. He's a gentleman I met in the real estate world back in 2002. His name is Rob Foy. He's been married for 37 years to Anne Marie, and he has two children, Robbie Foy and Megan Foy. So it is my pleasure and my honor to introduce my very good friend, Rob Foy. How are you doing today, Rob?
I'm doing great, Rob. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, it's an honor. It's a blessing and an honor. So I just want to share a quick story with the audience of how we met. So I got in the real estate business in 2001, and then in 2002, I met this guy, Brian Buffini, who has these seminars. So I go to this two-day event in Tyson's Corner, Virginia. It's Tyson's Corner, Virginia, all by myself. Don't know a soul there. There's 1,000 people there. So I start running into this guy. He's, by the way, he's the 5'11" version of Howie Long. And some equate me as the 5'8" version of Vinny Testaverde. So it's used a football analogy. So you'll see me see the video. So anyway, I just kept running into this guy, Rob, and his wife, Anne Marie, ran into him in the gym, ran into the elevator, ran into him in the hallways, just ran into him over and over and over again. So we got to be really good friends. There was a point in time when we held each other accountable in the real estate business where we would talk almost every single day and speak for a long period of time and just to encourage each other, help each other. But Rob is a very devout Catholic. He's a very faithful guy. And today we're going to talk about living in faith. So Rob, again, welcome to the show. I'm excited to share your story with everybody. And if you just tell everybody a little bit about yourself, other than what I already did.
Yeah. So I'm Rob Foy. Like Rob said, I've been married 37 years. You know, I'm a family guy, I guess. Been in real estate 30 years. I love what I do. I feel very, very blessed. I've experienced the ups and downs, I think, of not only the market, but life. I've lost, I've had again. But through all of it, I believe that God was always with me and I didn't get anything or lose anything that he didn't want me to have or to not have, if you will. And my wife is my saint. She's my angel. She's always at my side. And, you know, I feel very, very, very blessed each and every day that I'm here.
Well, thank you, Robin. Can you share a little bit about that? You've had, you lost, you've had again. Can you share a little bit more about that and where that, what that did there, what happened there?
Yeah. When the market crashed in 2008, prior to that, you know, everybody experienced so much success in real estate. Everybody wanted to be in real estate. And so I was going to the President's Cup in about 2001 or two. And I was taking my builder client, and a lender had asked if he could get a ride there because he had a ticket. And the three of us got in the car and we drove to Robert Trent Jones in Manassas it was President's Cup. Yeah. Tiger Woods, all the presidents were there. It was a great event. My brother's a member there. So we were in the clubhouse and by the time we got there, we had a company. So that guy, one guy provided the money, one guy built everything and I was a salesman. And we had gone from doing rehabs to buying land and subdividing land to building condos. And when the market crashed, we were highly leveraged. So we crashed with it. And me being kind of the weakest link in the group, just ended up losing everything. It wasn't a lot of money. But it just happened to be all I had at the time. And so for me, it was a lot of money. I voluntarily sold my house. I gave everything I had to the bank. And I said, that's the best I can do. And I left. My wife and I went to Colorado. Our son was out there at the time. So, and my daughter came with us. So we all rendezvoused in Colorado for the better part of a year. And I left the real estate business for a little while. I left Maryland for a little while, but then I realized how much I do like Maryland and how much I needed my network and my family. So I came back broker than I was when I left with a pile of debt And I remember, Rob, I had to rent an apartment. Now, I came from a 4,500 square foot house in Western Howard County on 3 acres, sold it. And I came back and rented an apartment in Columbia. And I remember I got a 3-bedroom apartment. I wasn't making any money. I just told him, this is what I make. My credit stayed intact. I didn't go bankrupt or anything like that. I just wanted to honor all my debts. And God was with me the whole way. And I remember after I set the apartment up over the weekend, it was Monday morning. I went into my office and I sat down at my desk, flipped my laptop open, pulled out and opened my drawer with my notes in it. And I said, all right, I got to build this thing all over again. And that was 2010. So that was 13 years ago. And in a lot of ways, God has made me a much more wiser, grateful man. I'm a better steward with what I have. And I don't worry about having food with my meals. It's always there. And I've probably never been more sound financially since all that happened. So that was it.
Thank you for sharing. I said, I know it was a tough time because I was with you the whole time.
Absolutely. Yeah. You walked that journey with me.
Yeah. So, and this guy, like the whole faith thing is powerful because there's a lot of people that might've caved in, and I'm sure you had your down moments. Oh, I know you had your down moments, but you came back and you're coming back stronger than ever. So, you know, as a young guy, you know, did you always have that faith? You know, is it something you came across? Was there a trigger? Was there a person that introduced you, or did you always have it?
Well, my mother was probably my spiritual mentor. She was a great lady of faith, a good Catholic woman. But we fell away from the church. I was the youngest of 4 siblings, and they were all 4, 5, and 6 years older than me. And they all fought that they didn't want to go to church. And my mother got tired of it. My father probably, I don't know, I think he had his issues with the faith for various reasons. Every time he got near my mother, she had a baby. So that was what he used to always say. Every time he hung his pants up on a bedpost, your mother was pregnant. I think he got tired of the church for that because he was like, what am I supposed to do as a man? You know, I don't know why he had a problem with the church, but my mother was the one for me that I looked up to. But we stopped going to church when I was 8, 9 years old. So I never got confirmed. And then when I was 30, I was in Myrtle Beach. So, but I always knew God was there, and I prayed, and I always knew that I would get to know my Catholic faith before I let some Jehovah's Witness or some other denomination try to pull me away. I said, you know what? You guys are where you are. I'm not going to make a decision until I learn my faith. And at 30, my brother and I and a bunch of guys used to go to Myrtle Beach and play golf once a year and watch Super Bowl. So we get down in January. And my brother one time asked me, do you want to do something kind of crazy? And we went to Conyers, Georgia, where it was believed that, you know, the Blessed Mother, Our Lady, the Virgin Mary was appearing. And so we went. We were supposed to play golf the next day. We drove down the next day. Everybody was on the tee at like 8:15, 16 guys. And I said, guys, have a great – I was in charge of the whole event. I said, enjoy the day. Me and the boys are going to head down. We got us something to do. We'll be back at dinner. And so we drove 5.5 hours to Conyers, Georgia. And I won't go into it, but I had the most unbelievable experience of my life. I changed. I've never been the same. But I was so young in my faith to have something so great happen to me. So much grace was put on me at once that I didn't know which way to go. So when I got back home 4 days later, I went right to the church and I told the priest that, you know, so I just got knocked over by the Lord.
Yeah, and Rob, I don't mind talking about what happened if you want to dig into a little bit, because you had over to King Conyers, Georgia.
Sure. My brother at the time, one of my brothers he's still a contractor. They're both. One's a plumbing and HVAC guy, has a big company, and the other one has a carpentry and deck business. And anyway, he was doing a job for a devout Catholic that said that this was going on, and if you go there, you might smell the scent of roses. So we went there in the dead of winter and had this happen multiple times. And the way it was explained is that our Lord gives grace through Our Lady, and you smell this pungent scent of flowers. So this happened multiple times. And I mean, it brought me to tears. I prayed the rosary that day on that site. It was a big farm. For the first time in my life, I wept like a child. I recognized how much I had walked away from the Lord. And that started the journey that's brought me where I am. But what's interesting is it was if I was a child and fed a huge serving of baby food. Let's call it baby food. But it was an enormous serving of it, so much that it's taken me 30 years to really understand not only what happened, but to get in what I would call real relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
That comes from prayer.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I've told you, I pray an hour and a half every morning, hour to hour and a half, depending on how much time I have. But it usually takes me an hour and a half to get through all of my prayer. And then I have breakfast with my wife, and then I go to Mass, and then I start my day. I don't start my day in real estate, which is crazy, till 10 o'clock. But I get up at between five and six. And I used to not have the faith to do that. And the busier I get, the more difficult it is to do. But I heard a priest say one time, he was talking to a man that he was giving spiritual, he was a spiritual counselor or advisor to him. He was a spiritual advisor. And the guy was a politician or something. This is how the story goes. And the guy, and the priest asked the man, how much do you pray? And the guy said, Father, you don't understand my schedule. I don't have time to pray. He goes, no, my son, you need to pray an hour a day. And he goes, Father, you don't understand. You can't imagine what my schedule looks like. He goes, I'm telling you, my son, you need to pray an hour a day. And he goes, well, can I show you my schedule? And he showed him his schedule, and he went, oh, my son, you need to pray 2 hours. So, you know, we have to make time for what's right. I do. I have to make time for what gets me right for my day. And then things seem to work out. And when they don't work out, I understand that that's the way they're supposed to work. Not working out doesn't mean they didn't work out. It just means it didn't work out the way Rob wanted them to work out.
Right. That's great, man. Thank you for sharing that. I got three questions that came from that piece there. So first question is, what's a real relationship with Christ? What does that mean to you?
So hard, Rob, I was in conversation with a guy. I played golf with my brother and two other guys, and we had an overnight stay, and he's a Catholic, but he studied theology. Smart guy. I mean, this guy is a smart guy, studied theology in college. And we decided to have a debate, and the other three guys watched us. And I was saying to him how challenging it is to convey faith to another individual. But who was a guy in the first century, Rob, that I always forget his name. It's not Ignatius.
Augustine, right.
Yeah, his mother prayed for him for 23 years. He was a soldier in the war, and he got his leg. Anyway, Augustine said, we never truly rest until we rest in the Lord. And so, for me, that relationship takes time. You know, you and I have talked about, there are actually 9 levels of prayer. We've talked about contemplative style prayer. But to be in relationship with God, for me, what I'm beginning to understand is that
this is where it's a challenge to explain it. So to find the words is a challenge. You know, I'm selling a house for a woman. I'm going to do a sidebar here. Bring me back to this because I don't want to go off. And she terribly stresses with anxiety. And I know that's a big thing in our world right now, people in our country, and anxiety. That's one of the most probably anxiety medicine is probably one of the most prescribed drugs outside of depression medicine and the like. So she suffers with anxiety. I was talking to her about this last night. We spent a lot of time together. But what I've come to understand through this relationship is my complete existence relies on God. My every breath I take is only because he gives me the breath. Every good feeling I get, everything is because of God. Without him, nothing exists. And so when I've come to realize this at a deeper level, from the inside out, I find that I don't think as much, worry, stress, and I was a worrier and a stressor. You know, candidly, I come from a line of drinkers. My family, we're Irish Catholic and we drank, and I used to need to drink to relax, you know, and I quit drinking 10 years ago, and I've never been more at peace in my life. And I think that, and the reason I quit drinking was because I couldn't be the best person for God when I drank. I could be good in the morning, but if I went and had a couple of beers in the afternoon and they turned into more than a couple of beers, that's not God's guy.
Yeah.
That was Rob being Rob, trying to numb whatever was inside hurting.
Yeah.
And so those are the kind of things for me that come out of that. And so I does that help at all?
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's going to help. It's going to help whoever interprets it the way they interpret it. So the follow up question to that is, okay, you can wake up one morning and say, okay, I'm going to be in relationship with Christ. Then all of a sudden, does that mean, okay, you're in? But you have to develop a relationship.
Right? You have to develop relationships. Exactly right. Do you remember when we started Contemplative Prayer?
I want to get into that.
So yeah. You probably shared this with your listeners, but Contemplative Prayer, and I want to search one thing on my phone, but Contemplative Prayer, for those of you, oh, I turned my phone off. That was smart, just so it didn't ring during this, is really to be able to sit in silence, thoughtlessness, in a state of thoughtlessness, in the presence of God, so that he does the communicating, and we're not sidetracked. But Rob, I started that, and Rob, we both started that early in our journeys together. We used to go, remember, to the Friars, and we'd go up there and we would do contemplative prayer together. But that's really, really not the place to start. That's heavy, heavy lifting. And I'm going to get something on my phone so I can talk a little bit more intelligently, because there are actually 9 levels of prayer. And I've been studying St. Teresa of Avila on prayer. She wrote a book called The Interior Castle. I mean, just hearing that sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
It talks about, think of your inner soul full of gold and, you know, a castle, and your heart is the throne that our Lord sits on. But the first prayer to start into relationship with God is vocal prayer, whether it's repetitious like a Hail Mary or it's just conversation. Then is mental prayer. Now, people often will call it meditation. But meditation has gotten a tough, well, meditation could be, you know, Zen and Buddha and a lot of the other more New Age. And I went down that path too. So mental prayer is kind of when you image, say, our Lord on the cross or our Lord at the wedding at Cana doing his first miracle. You think of that in your mind and then you meditate or you think upon that such that maybe you're right there with him. Now, I also read. I read St. Teresa of Avila, The Way of Prayer. She has a book. And then there's another book I read every morning called The Divine Intimacy. And consequently, as a result of these, I end up in a colloquy, which is a conversation with God that is influenced by whatever struck my heart in the meditation or the reading that I did that day. And I did the Ignatian retreat for 4 years that you did a colloquy after. And Divine Intimacy, do you have that book?
Yes.
Yeah, it has a colloquy. There's two intense pages of a topic. Right now I'm reading on charity. And many people, you know, faith, hope, and charity. Many people think of charity as giving away. Charity is love.
I was going to bring that up because I people see that charity is give, but it's.
Oh, I give a lot. I got the charity part down. Actually, it's loving your neighbor.
Yes.
That's really charity. So,
yeah.
So that's kind of. That takes me, and then I'll go into more vocal prayer like the rosary, because that is something that, you know, I'll pray for our country and our nation and the church, and then I'll do the chaplet of divine mercy. I typically do that after mass with the ladies at mass. I could tell you a story about that, but I probably drilled down too deep.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, so I don't know if you didn't hit all nine levels. I know you hit like five.
Oh, no. There's effective prayer, acquired recollection, then dark night of the senses.
It's
okay. So I believe that I went through this. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look at a calendar. I think it was 3 years ago. Okay. I was in a great place. I remember calling a friend of ours, John Simmons, saying what a good place I was in. And I said, I know pride precedes a fall because I was in such a happy place that I know this too shall pass. You know, if we get in a bad place, we just say this too shall pass. And if we get in a good place, we have to remember that this too shall pass. And Lord, did it ever pass. I felt myself slipping away. And I felt my confidence slipping. I was not sleeping as well. I was more anxious until I spent 2.5 months without sleep. I didn't sleep. I couldn't even nap during the day. I couldn't do it. My body wouldn't let me do it. I was in such anguish and suffering and pain. And my wife, I'd say, we'd have a meeting. We'd go out and meet. My wife, Emery, works with me, you know, real estate. And we'd go out and I'd do a presentation and sign a listing. And she goes, you know, you look normal, but I know you're not sleeping. I sleep next to you, you know, and I walk the house at night. I mean, I experienced so much anguish and so much pain, and to lose your sleep for a couple of months, they say it's not possible, but somehow I did it. I lost 25 pounds because I didn't have an appetite. Nothing tasted good. I found no joy in anything. Anything that I loved gave me no joy at all. I cried often. And then there was a Sunday after about 2.5 months. It was now August. I think I slipped into this in June. It was like June. And it was a Sunday morning. And I would still try to pray because I knew that God was with me, but I could not feel him. I couldn't feel the consolation of God. And what people don't understand is when you feel good, it's for one reason. You think it's because you're working hard and you're successful and doing this and doing that. But if God pulls back, it doesn't matter what you do. You don't feel it. It's not possible. And so I had finished prayer. My wife was still upstairs. And I got down on my knees in front of our Lord. I have a little tablet. I had a little altar set up. And I wept. And it brings me to tears when I think about how much pain it was in. And I said, God, I can't. I can't take this anymore. I can't. And then I picked up a daily meditation by Paul of the Cross. I think he was in the 600s. Wasn't Paul in the back in time of Christ. And it said, when you are in a state of suffering, the veil will be lifted and you won't even know it's coming, and it would just happen. It was some encouraging thing like that. And that gave me enough strength to keep going. And slowly the weight was lifted. And ironically, I have been in a state of consolation ever since.
And that's been 3 years?
It'll be 3 years. It's 3 years next month. I mean, everything I do, I find joy. I just love to do anything. It doesn't matter what I do. But this too shall pass. And so what happens if I really went through that, because only God knows if I went through that, that is a purification period. That is where we are purified. John, I forget who went through this, St. Francis or somebody. No, it was the stigmata, the pre-stigmata.
Padre Pio.
Yeah, thank you. And it killed him. It killed him. And when I YouTubed it, and people that went through it, everything I had, all the symptoms. But it is a state of purification when the smelt is burned out of the gold, and you have, you know, it's part of the process. So that's four. Yeah, only God knows if that's really what happened, but yeah. Man, it was brutal. And then, so it's acquired recollection, dark night of the senses, illuminative way. Five is infused contemplation. A lot of these I'd have to read to tell you what they are. Prayer of quiet, dark night of the soul. This is what John of the Cross wrote about. This is the intense purification. And, you know, if he takes me back there again, I don't know. It makes me tremble when I think about it. But I know he'll be with me. But that's what a relationship for me is with God. To get back to your previous question, Rob, is knowing that every good thing comes from him that is in my life, and trusting that everything that happens to me, he can bring good out of evil. Mm-hmm. He can bring good out of bad. I'm not saying nothing bad happens. God doesn't make bad things happen. People wonder why he lets bad things happen. God gives us free will, so man will sin against his other fellow man. But he will bring something good out of that, and we have to trust that. This is such a short time, this life. Salvation is eternal. To be in heaven is eternal, and I tasted it. The door was cracked. I didn't tell you when I went back to Conyers, Georgia, because I tried telling the whole world that I experienced grace and God's in Conyers, and everybody thought I was a nut. So I went back, and I said, Mary, if you're here, you got to show me. You have to. I took my family back. My brother took his family back. We went back, and I took a picture of the sun. And I looked at it, and all I saw were clouds. And it didn't dawn on me that there weren't any clouds in the sky at the time, but I took the picture. And nothing. I get nothing. It was a Polaroid Instamatic. You know, it's 30 years ago. Throw out my top pocket, and I just sit on this stump in the middle of this farm. It's like an 80-acre farm this woman had with a huge life-size crucifix, a lady, or Fatima, a statue of Our Lady of Fatima. I was just, my kids are running around, you know, they're 2 and 4 years old, and I'm dejected. And I pull the picture back out, and I look at it again, and I go, oh my gosh, you're in the clouds. I still have the picture. She is in the clouds. I can see her veil, her face, her nose, her chin, everything. Throw outline of her. And then I took another picture with a Polaroid, and I got a door. It was like a door, and there was this woman. I took a picture of the sun, and the thing came out black, dark. But a door that was had like white smoke behind it. I don't know what you'd call it, but it was illuminated on the other side of the door, and it was a woman in a white dress in the doorway. And I was like, is this Mary? What is this? She showed me herself again. And then I noticed a bunch of pilgrims were gathered around. They happened to be Latino. And they were all looking at a picture. And I was like, I want to see this picture. What's the picture? And they showed it to me. And on either, they had the same door, but on either side of the door was a stone church, and it went up like that. I mean, they had, it's been said, I've read that is the door to heaven. So my faith was then confirmed, and I went on to be confirmed. I even studied the diaconate, but I didn't pursue it. I've still thought about it, but in any event. So there are many levels of prayer, and I won't go into the rest. If anybody wants to look them up, they can. Well, actually, I will. Simple union, conforming union, and transforming union. That's the top. That's when you are actually, I think, like completely purged of your sins, and you're there. You're like, you could be a saint. And we're all called to be saints. This is the thing. If we pursue our faith, if you chase our Lord, the more you chase him, the more you seek him, the more he'll reveal himself to you. But you have to look for him. You have to seek him. You have to spend time with him. He wants our time.
So, Rob, question for you here. First of all, thank you for sharing that. I mean, that was intense. That was very transparent, vulnerable, and genuine. So I appreciate that. And thank you for showing your emotion and your enthusiasm, because I love that. And I mean, we've connected years ago. So you asked the Blessed Mother to show you a sign.
I said, I need to know you're here. You have said, if you're here, you've got to show me yourself. Sorry to interrupt you.
Right. So my question being that I can ask this in hindsight, because if Rob Foy doesn't get that sign or that acknowledgement that she's there, where does Rob Foy's mind go? Where does his heart go?
I can't think of that.
Yeah, right.
I can't go down that path because it didn't happen. She answered my call. She answered my prayer. Jesus let his mother show herself to me, because she can't do anything without his approval.
Right. And we both agree on that. So, not going there. Now Rob, he's got this acknowledgement, he's got this affirmation, let's call it. What work is God doing in your life now?
Wow, that's a good question, Rob. I think about Friday night, I was down at my brother's, golf club and talking to this guy and not afraid to have a conversation with a guy who's much more intelligent than I. But faith, in my opinion, this is not meant to be egoic, but you can read all the books in the world, wisdom and faith trump that. And so I believe now more than ever. And then when I was with this woman that I spent a lot of time with, that I sold her house, and she has anxiety issues. We spent 6 hours. I did a 6-hour contract presentation, negotiation with this woman. And she's what I would call more to the, she's more to the left, more of a liberal type person. And I was fearful of even saying God. But we got into this conversation and I just started sharing. I said, are you okay with this? She goes, actually, I'm very okay with this. I'm enjoying this very much. So one of the things God is asking me to do in this time right now is to have courage to share the good news, to share the faith, because people are hiding it under a bushel basket. They're afraid for what might come, get canceled, get arrested because you brought up God. You can't say that name anymore. It's taboo. And so I am not afraid. I'm not afraid.
He uses the words in the Bible, and there's a song that says, "Be not afraid."
Yeah, be not afraid. I will always, I'm always with you.
Come follow me, and I'll set you free. Right?
Yeah, and I will show you, peace or something.
Yeah. So that's great stuff, Rob. And you're an all-in guy, the way I see it, right? And everybody could define all in, I guess, in different ways. So is all in to Rob about the prayer, about the devotion, about the adoration? People probably could sense anyway through the conversation we had today that you're all in. But what about the person that's just starting their faith journey?
Yeah.
How would you encourage them to go all in?
Well, you know, that's a great question. It's a beautiful question. I love that you asked it. I do have two speeds, stop and go. That's really all I got.
And I know that firsthand. I know that.
I would probably say you're the same way, but more than I. But I'm when I get in, I go all in. You're right, I do. And if I don't think I'm going to go all in, I won't go in.
Right.
I won't. So what would I say to someone starting out on this journey?
And can I interrupt real quick?
Sure.
Because there's some people that might say, you know, I want to test this out. I'm not so sure what this faith thing's all about. Let me dip one toe in the water. And that person sitting on the fence, and I'm like, okay, how do you go all in? How do you go all in?
Well, it's a process. I certainly believe it's a process. You know, I can remember when it was 30 years ago. Can remember that I just read a little bit of the Bible. You know, there's a great movie called I know you know it's been out probably 50 years. It's a 6-hour movie on Christ from the time that the time that Joseph and Mary got married. Had the child. I can't even think of the name of the movie. I can't believe it. Ernest Borgnine's in it. Stacy Keach. It's a great, great movie. And I used to watch it. And I had this the VHS. And I'd put one in for 2 hours and let it go. And then I'd put another one in. And that is the gospel. It's the gospel, in my opinion, according to Luke. So that's a great movie. I got to get it. If my wife, I'd yell upstairs. My wife, she doesn't. I'm sorry, I can't remember. Look it up. If you can look it up, it's a great movie. It's a great movie. That is a way that taught me about the life of Christ. The gospel did. But you know what I did when I got back to church? I started going to morning mass, and I would go like once a week. It's a half hour. So if you're Catholic, that's what I did. But don't do what I did. Go to confession first, if you haven't been, before you receive the Eucharist, because that's what we're supposed to do.
Rob, the movie is Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth. Thank you. Jesus of Nazareth. Great movie. So, you know, it's just whatever works. I think that just spend 5 minutes with our Lord.
You know, because you said early on, you pray for hour and a half every day, and there's probably people out there saying, man, I can't.
No, don't start there. Don't start there. I apologize. Yeah, 5 minutes.
There's no reason to apologize, by the way. That's where you are.
No, but I apologize to your listeners because that, you know, they think that's insane. I'm not doing that. What am I? You know, what do I do for an hour and a half? You know, mine only got to that point because I just kept adding things to it.
Right.
And ironically, I will say this. It takes me about an hour to get in relationship with Christ. with God. It takes me, some mornings it's 10 minutes and then I'm off with him.
Yeah.
And some mornings it's 45 minutes and then I'm off with him for 15 minutes. So I kind of have, and then I got to turn around and do my prayer, because I pray for the nation and the church and my family and all the things that we need to pray for, because prayer works.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
So I would just say whatever, there's a lot out there that's confusing right now. We probably don't have time to go into it, Rob, but you know, there's with the new age, with yoga, Buddha, Reiki, there's a lot of things out there that people, and I even tried some of those things to find, you know, listening to Eckhart Tolle and trying to find peace within. And those things were confusing to me because they work a little enough to keep you going. But it's really about me. It's not about God. And when someone gets closer to God, it's less about you and more about God. And then you don't have to be in control of anything. That's the beauty of it. Who said it? Say, truly rest, we rest in the Lord.
Yeah.
You just said, you said it earlier. It's not Ignatius. It's the other
Augustine. St. Augustine.
Yeah. I don't know why I can't. I say Ignatius, I forget Augustine. And so I'm resting in the Lord. It's like falling back. I envision myself falling back in his arms and he's got me. And then I don't have to do anything. It doesn't mean we abdicate responsibility. It doesn't mean that we don't do the things that we're supposed to do every day to provide for our families, to do the things that we're supposed to do. But we need to trust the results as to what happens. And then all the pressure is lifted. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden."
Rob, stop right there. I got a question for you. I'm glad you said that, because he says, you know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, right?
Right.
I don't think, and I just got this maybe 2 weeks ago, and yoke, what's the yoke? I know what it is now. What's the yoke?
Well, that's a good question, but I think he's probably talking in a parable. In one sense, the yoke of an ox, because back then they tilled. And so when you're pulling, that the ox is pulling and working all day and he's doing all the work, you know, Jesus says, mine is light. My burden is light. I'll help you carry the cross. That's what we don't understand. I think another thing about faith is, if we go back to the fall, Adam and Eve, we had heaven on earth. We lost it. We gave it up. And so now our life is struggle, is suffering, and it is sadness. And if we realize that and understand that and not try to avoid pain, then when the pain comes, and it will, be it the loss of a loved one or a physical pain, I struggle with chronic pain and I pray to God about it daily. He wants me to have it, and that's what I have. But I give it to him. You know, when they say, give it up, give it up. I used to think, what am I supposed to do? Give up my pain so he takes the pain and then I don't have the pain anymore? No. But I can give it up for the salvation of a soul.
But Rob, because you were going right when I was going to ask the question, so you read my mind. What does it mean to give it up? What does it mean to give up my pain or my suffering to someone or to the Lord for someone? What does that mean?
Yeah, so you have to understand that when we go to heaven, all bets are off. Everything's easy. Nothing more can we do to show God our love. We'll pray to him. I guarantee you, we will sing with the angels. I'm going to tell you a story before we're done. I know you got to go, but I got to tell you a story. Don't let me forget to tell you a story about the angels. And then we can leave on that. But in this life, we can suffer for Christ. We can suffer for our fellow man. We can suffer. Just, do you know that just living is doing penance for God, is doing penance for our sins, is suffering in and of itself, just living. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes, everybody, that just living is painful? It is. But when you get it, we're never going to be able to do anything to demonstrate our love for our Lord in heaven like we can on earth, because we suffer in this life.
Yeah.
And we can use that. If we suffer on behalf of someone else, God says, I will help that person because you suffered on their behalf.
So what do? You say, God, I'm going to accept this pain. I'm going to give it up to you for the health and wealth, or the health.
I just say I offer up my pain today for the salvation of souls, for the most holy souls in purgatory, and for the unborn. I offer up my abstinence from alcohol. I fast from alcohol each day. I can offer that fast up. That is a glorious fast that our Lord can use. He wants us to fast. It actually, you can fast from food. You don't have to fast from alcohol. You can fast from TV. You can fast from social this. Where are you?
The phone, fast from that.
But never. Once it's over, you can't demonstrate your love for God like we can now.
Yeah. Good stuff. Hey, real quick, share the story about the angels if you can that in a nutshell, and then we got to wrap up.
We'll wrap it up. So when creation happened, okay, in an instant, God created all the angels. And there are a gazillion angels because everybody has a guardian angel, and there's only one angel for you. Some have two, like a priest would have two. But anyway, there was an instant. I'm not going to get this exactly right, but basically the angels had to decide, because they have free will also. So they had to decide when Lucifer, who was a brilliant angel, he is Satan. He was way up top. There's nine choirs of angels, and he was way up top. And when he could not bow down to our Lord, and he hates Our Lady, he hates his mother even as much or worse. And he got thrown out of heaven by Saint Michael. All the angels at that second had to make a decision. Are they with God or are they with him? And when they made it, they all went straight to hell. They were all cast down to the earth. And when I say nine choirs of angels, I'm talking billions. They start with guardian angels, archangels, and they go all up to I can name them, but I can't think of any of them right now. But they go way up high. And all these angels and all these choirs went down to earth. That's why darkness is on the earth, because the devil, there's evil angels here. Now there's all these holes. Think of a choir, and you got all these angels, and there's all these holes. There's all these missing holes. That's what we get to. We can fill those holes. We can get all the way up to heaven if we earn that. And I love that. But we have to earn that. God wants us to fill those holes. We don't become angels because we're always human, but we will be spirit in heaven. But we can fill those holes. And Mary took Lucifer's place. He was way up there, and she got his place. And he hates her for that.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, buddy. Hey, man, the one of the questions I usually ask, and if you give me a quick, I guess, Cliff Note version of it, how much more chiseling you got going on in your life? How much more chiseling's God going to do in your life?
Oh, I'll be chiseled till I die. He's going, as long as I'm here, I have an opportunity to let him chisel me. And when he did that for those couple of 3 months, and I was dying, I said, man, my maker is just working me over. He's the potter with the clay. But no, I'll be chiseled for the rest of my life. And I, in some senses, hope to be here a while so I can do good. But
I hope you're here a while longer too, my friend.
Well, yeah, but I mean, listen, he said, come. I'm like, let's go. I mean, I miss everybody here. Don't get me wrong. I love my wife and everything, but I got, you know, Jesus is here. My wife's here. I'm going this way.
So committing to allowing God to chisel you is a form of surrender. Would you agree?
100%. Great word.
Yeah. And so I think we need to, when you surrender and you're willing to surrender, I think that puts you in a better place of peace and acceptance. And I've known Rob Foy for a long, long time, and I've seen the transformations. I've seen the back and forth, the ups and downs. I've seen it, and he's seen it in me. And we're really good buds, and I just appreciate you being on here today. And if somebody – you're an intense guy, right? And people are going to be like, man, who's this guy, right? And if somebody wanted to reach out to Rob Foy and talk more about this, how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can call me or email me. Email me, robfoy3@me.com. That's probably the easiest way. Just use that me.com. Rob Foy, R-O-B-F-O-Y, the number 3@me.com.
Me.com.
Happy to talk, and then maybe we can get a dialogue going. I'm happy to – this is what it's about. This is what it's about.
You know? And Rob and I have had some awesome conversations over the past 20 years. And I love this guy to death. And I know he'd go to bat for me, and I go to bat 100%. For him. And we don't talk every day like we used to, but I know there, and he knows I'm there. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, as soon as we get on the phone, man, it's just like my brother from another mother.
Buddy, man, I am so appreciative of you. I know there's going to be a lot of people inspired by you and interested in talking to you. So thank you so much for being here today, man. It's been a pleasure.
Rob, thanks so much for having me. I love you, and I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Thank you. And until next time, everybody, let's go get chiseled.
You just got chiseled with Rob Pomodoro. Sure to like this podcast, share it with your friends, and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Also, you can find Rob's book on Amazon, Better Than You Think.